Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the child in the red hoodie. Who was it, and what did it want?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. That's what we do here. We talk about ghosts. Call it in anytime, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Then, if you would like to be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advance episodes, access to the archive, you can do that. You can become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here.
Well, hello. So, how are you?
I'm good. So I do want to point something out.
What's that?
Intro to this story is the child in the red hoodie. Who was it and what did it want? Being a communication / journalism major, I know that sentence isn't right.
Well, you shouldn't end a sentence with...
Well, no, it's who was it. A child is not a it. A child is a he or a she. Or a they anymore. This is something that goes way back to when I was in college. And I had this journalism instructor. So if you would write the sentence, the man was walking down the street and then it turned... And he would go, a man is not an it. A man is a he. And so getting that right.
Well, that is true.
So this one, the child in the red hoodie, who was it and what did it want? I'm not being disrespectful to the child. I'm questioning if it was one.
Okay. There's a reason.
I purposely referred to the child as an it. And I'm probably the only one who would even notice that. But it drove me really crazy when I wrote that intro to the point I thought, I've got to explain myself.
Well, because you should have probably said, who was the child or who were they?
But I kind of wonder if it was an it.
An it.
Because if anybody else took Mr. Pearson's class... At Wichita State University.
Well, you know, Stephen King wrote a book and he just called it it.
Yeah.
Right?
He did.
And so it is a very strong word, as we all know.
In the paranormal field.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's why I wrote that. It's a it's a creepy ass story.
Okay, tell me.
So here it is. It says, this experience happened about 10 years ago in Mainville, Ohio. My husband and I lived in one of the many apartment communities that litter the area. Each building had four apartments, two on the bottom level and two on the second floor. There were separate entrances to each apartment. A sidewalk led to each apartment on the bottom level, and two steps went into a small alcove before reaching the door. It had your pretty standard landscaping around each door, random bushes and a small tree in between the divided sidewalk. It was a small community. Everyone did their own thing. No wild parties or fights were common like most other places. On any given day, when coming home from work, I would see people out with their dogs or children just enjoying the day. In all honesty, it was a pretty idyllic place to live. The day this experience occurred was the same as any other. I just finished my day at work, ran some errands, picked up my groceries, and drove home. Nothing exciting or odd about the day until I pulled into my parking lot, which faced my door. A child was sitting on my front steps. Now, just to be clear, my husband and I had no children and never had any random visits. The minute I saw this little figure sitting on my steps, partially blocked by some of the bushes, I had a sense of dread. I felt like I had a stone in my stomach. For some irrational reason, I didn't want to get out of my car. My heart was racing and my entire body went cold despite it being the middle of summer and the temperature being in the 90s. Trying to shake off the odd feeling, I sat there for a minute, taking in the image of this small child. Looked to be about 6 or 7, with white tennis shoes, blue jeans, and one of the brightest red hoodies I had ever seen. Their knees were bent with their head resting on them. 10 years later, the image is still burned into my memory. I got out of my car and pulled my groceries from the back seat. Everything was eerily quiet. No one was out and about like usual. I slowly walked up the walkway towards this random child, wondering if they were lost. Most of the buildings looked the same, so it would be easy for a kid to get confused. I called out, asking if they were okay, and I was met with silence. They didn't even lift their head. I pushed aside my unease, moved closer, and asked again if they needed anything. This time, there was still no movement, but I heard the childlike reply, "I think my mommy is in there." I told them no, they had the wrong building and that I live there. I looked at my door and it was solidly closed. At this point, I had actually walked past the child and was standing at my door. I scanned the area to make sure no one was waiting to rush me. I guess that could be true. Like, you could send your kid there as a decoy and then you could rob somebody.
Well, that was a good thought. And especially since they had this fear and dread that something wasn't right, you might think, you know, this child is here, but what is the reason? You know, you're kind of looking around to see if there's, you know, other people. I get that, you know.
And it goes on and says, there was no one to be seen, just this small child standing in front of me, head down, with hands in their pockets, staring at their feet. I couldn't see their face with the hood pulled up as it was. Can you help me find my mommy? I told them, yes, let me set my stuff down and we will find your mom. No, let's go inside and I can call her, was the response. My entire body froze. The voice came out a little harsh that time. I decided not to unlock my door. Instead, I set my bags down in front of it. It does say it. And said, no. As I turned back to face the child, I said, I have my phone. I can call right from here. Something close to sounding like a growl came from the child, followed by, no, let me inside. I felt my back hit my door as I instinctively took a step back, telling the kid there was no way I was letting them in my house. I scanned the parking lot again, looking for their parents, but saw no one. I heard the door to the apartment upstairs opening and looked back down at the kid. This time, looking right into its face. Incredibly pale skin practically glowed from inside the hood. I couldn't breathe when I saw the black eyes staring back at me. These weren't just dark brown eyes. They were black, as in no whites at all. I froze at the sinister sneer it threw my way, and then it bolted. In what seemed like seconds, it ran through the bushes, past the next two buildings, and disappeared between an apartment and maintenance shed. Despite the cold spreading through me, I stupidly followed its path. As I got to the shed, I looked all around it, and no one was there. I noticed on my walk back to my apartment that people were walking their dogs and families were playing in the playground area when just minutes before, no one was around. I looked at every child and saw none of them in a red hoodie. To this day, I still have no idea what I encountered that day, but I know it wasn't a child. Crystal. Isn't that so creepy?
That is really creepy. That black eye business.
See, and those black-eyed kids. They're legendary. Kids with no souls. But I think it's like... I don't think it's a kid at all. I think it's something that looks like a child. So then we feel sympathetic.
Right.
And we want to help this child. And so then you end up opening up to the child, maybe opening up your home to the child. Because it's like, oh, I've got to help you find your mommy. Yes, come inside where it's safe.
Yeah. And then once they're in there...
Who knows?
Then you're haunted, right? Then you've got this thing, this, you know, spirit in your house.
And you know,
because you've let them in.
If she wouldn't have said that whole thing about being able to look right into its face, incredibly pale skin, black eyes staring back at me, no whites, sinister sneer. And then when she said, like it kind of growling, you know, like it was angry at her. No, let me inside. You know, it's just like, what would have happened?
Yeah, because it was so adamant to get in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me in, let me in. And, you know, Crystal was, you know, absolutely not. You can't get in.
Thank God.
And, you know, I think what we had was a battle. I know this sounds a little melodramatic, but sort of a battle for your soul, right? Like it wanting in and you're saying, no, you cannot be in here.
Yeah, you that's know. True. I hadn't thought of it like that.
You know.
Mm.
So.
I'd
and want... then once again, and then when it was gone, then like all of a sudden the birds are chirping and the people are out and regular life is going on. Like what happened that just stopped everything?
And why her? Like that would really bug me. Like what is it that you wanted? There's other apartments. Why mm-hmm. my doorstep?
Yeah.
Why did but you it, want
but
in
it,
my
it
house?
Was it was for her.
Yeah.
You know, but she was very, very strong and adamant that that was not going to happen.
And she certainly didn't say anything paranormal happened before in her life or after. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Maybe there's a reason. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she's thought of anything like, why would this child be waiting for her?
Yeah. But I think you're right. I don't think it was a child. I think that was just a ruse and, you know, to get... you know, to break into her and get her to feel empathetic for the child. And, oh, yeah, sure, come on in and we'll, you know, get you straightened out and find your home or whatever. But she knew it was wrong.
Oh, yeah, she said she sensed it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. black-eyed children...
Yeah, that's a problem, black-eyed
yeah.
children.
See, black-eyed children, an American... contemporary legends, they are paranormal creatures that resemble children between 6 and 16 with pale skin and black eyes who are reportedly seen hitchhiking or begging or, listen to this, are encountered on doorsteps of residential homes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's just
go.
So creepy.
Yeah.
Man, I hope nothing's happened like that because that would really freak me out to the point I would always be like, what did it want and is it coming back?
Yeah.
That would bug me.
Yeah. So. I wonder how long ago this was and if anything has happened since.
Let me look at the beginning.
I don't really have a feeling it has because I think she might have mentioned, you know, that this wasn't the only time.
Yeah, this crazy ass kid wouldn't leave me alone. She said it happened about 10 years ago.
Okay.
Ugh, that's so creepy. Now it's giving me one more thing to worry about.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Because, you know, like, now if I see a kid on my doorstep, I'm going to be like, get away! Get
no,
out of
me,
here,
I'll be like, hello? Hi?
I'd be
Can
like,
I see your eyes?
Out. Can I see your eyes first? Okay, you
please?
Have beautiful blue eyes. What can I do for you?
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Because like down the street, every time I walk my dog past this house, the kids, especially the oldest, she's like 8 or 9. She likes to come out and say hi to me. And so and this it's the cutest little thing. You just hear this little kid voice, hi. And then Benji and I have to stop and see her. But she has really pretty blue eyes. So I'm not going to worry about that kid.
Okay, we won't worry about that one.
But if she's sitting on my... stoop and she's in a hoodie and I can't see her eyes, I'll be like, shit. Okay, well, we have got another caller. Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, my name is Katie. I have so many stories, but I'll start with a couple. I think it all related to my stepfather and his family. But basically, once I was in eighth grade and my mom would take me to school, my stepfather would always leave early and come back super late from working. And we had gone. My stepfather had a meditation room where he'd burn incense, right? So anyway, we left and we always burnt incense and candles in the house anyway. So no big deal. So my mom picked me up from school. We went to the mall. We didn't get home until like 8 o'clock. My stepfather wasn't home yet. Nobody had been in the meditation room since like 3 o'clock in the morning because my stepdad would wake up really early and meditate. And so I smelled incense, but no big deal because we always burnt it. And went to my bedroom, came back like an hour later, and it was really fierce, like super strong. So I went in there, and there was a fire just on his mantle where he would meditate. And he did have a cross, and he had painted all the walls different shades of purple because he had converted to Catholicism. So it was one wall that was painted dark purple. And so we had fire extinguishers, of course, in the house. So I, you know, put the fire out. The only thing left on the wall was the cross indentation through the paint. No burn marks, nothing, just that. And then after that, we always go to Atlanta to visit family. And we went to my family's house and my step-grandmother's house. She was showing us to our room, which we knew where it was, but either way. And when we went through the hallway, and it sounded like a huge growl, and a picture of my step-grandfather came up off the wall and fell on the ground. So we were a little freaked out. But anyway, went to bed. There were two twin beds. My cousin was in one bed. I was in the other. We were already freaked out from that incident. So we went to bed with the light on. And she said she got freaked out and she wanted to sleep in the bed with me. And she said I woke up, like sat up, looked at her and said, "Get out of my bed." And of course I had no recollection the next morning at all. So when I woke up and I asked her, I'm like, "What happened?" And she said that she told me the whole story. And she's the same cousin who told me that she's always had a ghost at the end of her bed. And again, long stories of my stepfather's family, like plenty of other stories. But thanks for everything, and I love you guys, and I hope to be a subscriber soon when I have the extra $5 a month. So thanks, you guys. Love you. Bye.
Okay, so there's a couple things here.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the bedroom and the fire and the cross thing,
mm-hmm.
Without seeing that setup, I don't know if that's a paranormal thing or not, you know, because was there a cross on the wall already?
That was exactly my thought about this. I thought, I don't know that I have enough information
because
about
it could have been real
creepy.
Like. Yeah.
Because could you burn something and then it leave a shadow of that or, you know, some sort of impression of it on the wall? I think it could. But I don't know that for a fact. It just, you know, she's probably got more information than I have gleaned from that, what she gave us. So that I'm not quite sure enough. I think you could have some sort of, you know, impression of that, that maybe something burnt around across somehow, you know?
Yeah.
And left that cross shape there. That's possible. But then again, like I said, I'm kind of with you. I don't know that I have quite enough information to make that judgment.
You know, one of the things a lot of people would do when there's a disaster where it's like a hurricane and then, look, this cross is still standing. I'm always kind of opposite. Like, but look at everything around it is destroyed. Is that ironic or I don't know. It doesn't feel comforting to me. Because it feels creepy because it's like, okay, everything is destroyed around that cross. That kind of creeps me out because it almost feels like, don't piss me off. You know, kind of, I can take it all away.
Well, or people died.
Yeah,
you know,
somehow. So the cross thing, I'm not 100% sure about it, like, would be creepy for sure. I just don't know the whole setup of the bedroom. Now, the other one, hearing the growling and then the picture coming off the wall, that would really upset me.
Yeah, I agree with that too. That was really creepy. As far as the sitting up in bed and saying, get out of the bed. I could see that just happen from your sleeping.
Yeah, that could have been a
My sister Cheryl would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, God, yeah. Cheryl was the worst. Like, she would talk in her sleep, gibberish, and she'd, sounded oh, demonic.
She'd tell you. She'd say, get out of here. Yeah. Like, you know, get out. And what are you doing here and stuff? And then in the morning, you'd say, God dang, you were so mean last night. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Which is exactly what happened to her. She's like, I do not remember that. Which,
yeah,
for the person who's not talking like that in their sleep, that is really
you're
creepy.
Wide awake, and they're giving you this like look like they're possessed by Satan, and you know, this weird eye look because they're still asleep, and you know, and saying horrible things to you, you know.
And so that could
God lover Cheryl. I'm not, you know, trying to, but she would do that when she was a kid.
And after that traumatic experience, I could also see how you might have been sound asleep and that's like in your head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so she, you know, get out of bed or whatever it was that she said. I could, that kind of makes
sense.
She
might have just been like, yeah, you know, leave me alone kind of thing.
But thank you very much for that story. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we've got one more quickie. Okay. It says, I'm sure you hear this all the time, but you guys have a really great show. And I appreciate the hard work you put into bringing us such great stories. That was so kind. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
I have a love for the paranormal, specifically ghosts and demons. Mm. I can't say I have a love for ghosts or demons. Not a love.
I don't know. I kind of love
say
a good ghost.
I would say I have a fascination and I do love a good ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm writing in because I really wanted to get your views and opinions on what happened to me. Before I start, it's important to note, so you get an understanding of the layout of my room, that the head of my bed is placed right under the window. And if you were laying in the bed, my closet would be on your left about 5 or 6 feet away. I should also mention that the closet has sliding doors, had sliding doors, but were removed due to one of the doors being broken, so the closet is completely exposed. My story takes place on a regular school day, and I'd woken up at around 6 o'clock in the morning. My school didn't usually start until 8, so since I had a lot of time, I decided to stay in bed and play on my Game Boy to pass time. A couple of minutes passed, and I noticed in my peripheral vision something dark towards the ceiling of my closet, but I didn't really look at it because I thought it was a shadow of something, and honestly, I was just too busy playing Pokemon. A couple more minutes passed by, and I decided to put the Game Boy down as I was getting a bit bored, and at the corner of my eye, I noticed again something dark towards the ceiling of my closet. And I decided to look straight at the closet to see what it was. To my shock, it looked like what I believed to be a dark cloud just floating near the ceiling of my closet. I rubbed my eyes thinking I was hallucinating, but it was still there, just floating. As I stared at it, I felt paralyzed from fear, not knowing what I was looking at. And all of a sudden, I noticed the cloud was slowly expanding, eventually getting to the point it almost seemed like it was coming towards me. I finally snapped out of it as it was about to touch me, and I ran out of my room to my living room. I saw my mom sitting in the kitchen, and she asked what was wrong, and I did my best to explain that there's something in my room. So she checked it out, and she came back saying, "There's nothing, but I'm sure there was something. What it was, I don't know." To this day, I have not experienced anything like that, nor have I had any paranormal experiences, and have long since moved out of that house. Thanks for listening to my story. I hope to hear more stories in the future, and I wish you a good day. That's Justin. That's interesting that he had never seen anything before or since, just randomly. But I do like that, like, the mom went and checked it out, and she's like, I'm sure you saw something. Don't know what it was.
Now, do you ever have, like, if you've looked at something too long and it creates a dark spot? But I don't think that, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look over somewhere else and it's kind of dark, cloudy, floating thing. And I get them a lot like at night when it's dark in my room and I wake up and I'm looking and I have these dark spots. And I don't think it was that because I think you would have known the difference, don't you? Number one.
Well, and that it kind of floated out.
But that it kind of started, you know, before that, like peripherally.
Yeah, and then it was coming towards him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we are talking about a cloud that started in the closet.
Yeah, and the closet to boot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And neither of us like closets, really. I mean, they're useful, don't get me wrong.
And the doors are gone. But, you know, the fact that it started peripherally, and then he looked over and saw it.
You know, the one thing it could be, I get, and it's different than what I get, but I get these kind of migraines that it actually is almost like a flash, like a camera flash.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of bright. They're bright, though. Yeah. And it starts in my peripheral. And then it goes around to the front to where I can't see anything. I wonder if you could get that as a black cloud. Like more blackness than bright. Mine's bright.
Now, I've had different kinds. Like I've had the light flashing, you know. And then I know as soon as it happens once, this is a bad day, you know. And then I had a different one where it was more like certain spots in my eyes. It felt like you were kind of looking underwater.
Oh.
And it was really bothering me because, you know, I could see okay, but if I looked a certain way, it felt like it was like underwater. So I went to my my optometrist, and she said, it's a migraine.
I wonder if, you know, it doesn't say anything about having any migraine. And sometimes when I get those headaches, even though it is considered a migraine, I don't get like a horrific headache with it. Sometimes I do.
Yeah. Well, I didn't there, and that's why I was surprised. I didn't really have a headache. I just had this eye thing. You
I wonder
know?
If that was
she
something
said,
like
no,
that.
No, she said it's a migraine.
I wonder if he had something like that. Maybe it wasn't paranormal at all. Maybe it was some sort of migraine vision issue.
Mm. Yeah, and it just kind of, you know, was rather quick that it happened. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I don't either. But, you know, it doesn't sound like he's had anything since, so.
No.
Maybe it was some just creepy-ass cloud that happened in his bedroom. I don't know.
And maybe, yeah, there was that, that possibility. Yeah.
Well, share your real ghost stories with us. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802. Write them in at Real Ghost Stories Online. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.